then he started to talk a lot about Moses, and at the end said, you know what, purposely I bring the name of the Moses here. Of course I'm doing something else. Remember that the Moses, how should Moses deem it right that I may mention anybody before this? So he started to play with this. This is where we left it last time. Yes?
I'd like to understand something. When you were talking about the pain of being old and angry and etc., is this something that we can look at to understand the immensity of the pain? Is this some example? Or is this just... I didn't quite understand.
Mm-hmm. Because we talked about it. He said, be the friend of the sorrow and deal with this distance. Why? Because that's the motivation. Because that will bring us back. Going back to the original point needs some energy to stop you and turn you back. And that's what? Sorrow. Here, he talks about the pain, not the sorrow. And we say the pain is ignorable, because the pain you feel, you understand, and you avoid, this is the pain that could stop that bigger pain that you are not seeing in the future is coming. So this little pain is not really painful. Attend to it to stop that. Who's the guilty party tonight? You. Start from 2482, 83. Maybe 2480.
2-4. Different numbering.
Different numbering, okay. So the praise of one present is embarrassment. On this account, I am purposely using the name of the Moses. How about that? How about changing the guilty party?
To praise anyone present?
Yes.
Okay. To praise anyone present is embarrassment. On this account, I am purposely using the name of Moses like this. Otherwise, how should Moses deem it right that I make mention of anybody before thee? Our covenant hath been broken hundreds and thousands of times. Thy covenant, like a mountain, stands firm and stable. Our covenant is straw and subject to every wind. Thy covenant is a mountain, and even more than 100 mountains. By the truth of that power, have some mercy upon our mutability, O ruler of all mutations. We have seen ourselves and our shame. Put us not to further trial, O King, so that thou wilt have concealed other disgraces, O bounteous one whose help we implore.
Who is talking here? This is the Muhammad talking, right? Prophet. And what is Prophet saying? Saying that you should come to the point that you understand who you are, therefore your prayer will be sincere. This is the point that you should understand that, oh, I know my shortcoming. That's why I'm hanging on you. You should first understand your shortcoming and avoid that inflated ego which is ready for any exam. Say, no, we are not ready to be tested. Do not do that, please, beforehand. Means we have a little bit of time. When I'm praying, I guess I have a little bit of time, and I say, don't judge me yet, I know I'm not good, please. I want to try to be better. Do you remember how many times I repeated this, that if you want to put all this knowledge and hikmat in one single sentence, I suggest that no matter what, no matter where, no matter why, no matter anything, whatever you are doing, think about doing it better. That's it. Always. If you think you're the best, you're finished. You should always think that that part is missing. That could be improved. Therefore, you should arrive to the point that your prayer will be that we have seen ourselves and our shame. Put us no further trial, O King. Yes?
Thou art infinite in beauty and perfection. We are infinite in wrongness and error. Direct thy infinity, O bounteous one, upon the infinite wrongness of a handful of vile wretches.
This is a very good point to think about, really. Think about this point. He said, direct your infinity to what? To infinite shortcoming that I have. This is a very good point. Look at the human being, look at me. Whatever is in me is limited, isn't it? Do you find anything infinite in here? There is one shortcoming. Because nothing is perfect. If you want to understand it logically, the only infinite stuff in you is ignorance. Because what is the limit of ignorance? There is always that huge amount we don't know. We know a little bit. We even know that up to 2,000 years ago, there was no logic. Means we were talking illogical stuff, nonsenses. Even the logic is 2,000 years old and it doesn't work that much. So, I know something is infinite in me. I challenge you. Yes. You're infinite? I have something infinite. Deal with this one. Correct this one for me. Because you don't ask me to attend to the infinite stuff, do you? When I believe in that, and I believe in infinite stuff, then I understand how much do I know. Just a little bit. Yes?
Oh, come, for our cloth piece, a single thread remains. We were a city. A single wall remains. The remnant, O sovereign, that the soul of the devil may not rejoice entirely. Not for our sakes, for the sake of the primal grace through which thou didst seek them out that had lost the way. As thou hast shown thy power, show thy mercy. O thou hast implanted feelings of mercy in flesh and fat. If this prayer increase thy wrath, do thou teach us to pray.
This is critical. You see, he went to... This is the prophet. He's teaching the sick fellow a kind of prayer. He started with what? The prayer should do this. I know that I'm not the good fellow, I'm here to pray. I'm the needy one. I'm seeking the beauty because I lack the beauty. I know all of this. But there is one point. I'm talking with infinity, the source of infinity, and I find only one infinity in me, which is my ignorance and shortcoming. So I pray for that. Oh my goodness. I have tried my best, but there is a wall. I cannot pass that wall because I just cannot. You showed me your power. Now I want to see your mercy. If you don't like this prayer, teach me another one. Because this prayer is not for me. Do you remember how I started my prayer? Why did I start to pray? To please Him, not to get something. I'm talking to my beloved, so I want to please Him. If this prayer doesn't, I'm ready to change it. Yes?
Even when Adam fell from paradise, thou gavest him to turn toward thee, so that he escaped from the ugly devil. Who is the devil that he should surpass Adam and win the game from him on such a board? In truth, it all turned out to Adam's advantage. That guile became a curse to the envious one.
Really? Is this the case? What does that mean? What was the meaning of this? Oh, you're not listening. Sorry. What was the meaning of that? He brings in a very fantastic example to prove his point. He was praying to God for what? Only for mercy. That's it. And he wanted to please Him. Why? He declared it that you are the Savior. You can deal with that little stuff. You could do this. Just the way you did it with Adam. Remember what happened to Adam? You were there, right? What happened to them? They were ignorant and they didn't know that the fruit of knowledge is there and made for them. So, remember, God made the biggest sacrifice ever. Satan was the best angel he had, right? Put the Satan over there, right? And Satan is an angel full of knowledge, full of power. And Adam is a clay just dried and bloating and things like that, right? But who saved Adam? Wait a minute, Adam was saved or not? His intention was to give us the fruit of knowledge, and the success is Adam's. Who ended up to be good? Who ended up to be really in a bad position? The Satan is in a real bad position, and Adam is lucky because God looks after him. When we came down, who is looking after us? The Satan wants to defeat me? I'm his favorite. It doesn't happen that way. Look at the story of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Who is the winner? Who is the loser? Everything is good for Adam. Satan became the one that will be envious and will be cursed. Don't forget that story. Yes?
He saw one game. He did not see the 200 games. Therefore, he cut down the supports of his own house.
He doesn't do at all. Because here he talks about Sutuna Hanane. A special kind of column.
Column?